seems like Israel was always looking for a chance to sin like some people. The nation now has a lot of unrest, and they're rioting from coast to coast and all the things, and over a very legitimate thing. Five officers really mistreated a man and end up causing his death, which is not admissible. It's not excusable. But the terror city's up. I heard his own family say that don't go out and riot. You can do protest, but do not riot. You do riot, he said, we live in these cities, do not riot. So Black Lives Matter, all of that, they're using all this excuse to riot. Always looking for excuse to riot. People are always looking for an excuse to sin, aren't they? People are always looking for an excuse to sin. The Adamic nature just leads us astray. Now Israel is looking for a opportunity or a chance to sin, and now we have it. And Moses is up on the mountain doing what he's supposed to be doing. Aaron the goldsmith is down there among Israel. And let's look and see what happens. Let's look at the rest of the story, as Hal LaFoon used to say. And now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron. Now Aaron's job was a goldsmith. He wasn't out there making clay bricks and things like it were in Israel. The tribe of Levi were gold and silversmiths. They were the upper echelon of the Jewish people. And Aaron was a goldsmith, and he knew how to make gold figures and all the things, because some of the Pharaoh's treasures have been uncovered, and these are the people that did some of those things. About Aaron, and said to him, come make us a god. Come make us a god. Look at that. Literally, gods. Come make us gods. They've been down in Egypt for 400 years, and they really liked to look at gods. Egypt was full of gods. Make us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what's become of him. So now let's find our, well, let's imagine ourselves a god. Now Aaron was used to doing this down there. He made all kinds of things, figurines for the Pharaoh's death tombs. And Aaron said to them, tear off your gold rings. Hey, he was willing, people. This man was willing. Tear off your gold rings which are in their ears, and brought them to Aaron, and also in their noses. And he took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf. Now what he probably did was took and carved a calf out of a wooden figure, and then he gold-plated it. And he fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf. And then they said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. This is your Elohim, your God that brought you out from the calf. Remember, the Lord already had a contest with the bulls and goats and the bull gods of Egypt and won. But now they want to go back to Egypt. They want to go back into their 400 years of what we might call demonism. Now when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. Ugh. How horrible. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow I shall be a feast to Jehovah. This is Jehovah that brought you out of Egypt, a cow. So the next day they rose up early and offered a burnt offering, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat, they drank, and they rose up to play. What they're raising up to, They also, in the pagan ceremony, they would basically swap wives, and it was a sexual thing going on. And this is what happened with Jezebel, same thing. Israel's always looking for an opportunity to sin. And now they did. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go down at once, for your people whom you brought up from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have corrupted themselves. And they have quickly turned aside from the way which commanded them. And they have made for themselves molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt.'" Boy. Remember what was said here just earlier in this? "You shall not make strange fire. You shall not offer sacrifices. You shall not make images to anything." The first opportunity away from Moses, here they got with it, and Aaron's right there helping them. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. They are a stiff-necked. They are a hard-hearted. They are idolatrous." Dancing in idolatry. "And now then, let me alone, that my anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them, and I'll make a great nation out of you." And Moses entreated the Lord, his God. Now here we are, we have a type of Jesus making intercession for us, looking for a opportunity to sin. "O Lord, why do your anger burn against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand?" Now, he doesn't see this. God can look there and see what's going on. Moses hadn't seen it yet. When Moses sees it, he's going to get a little bit upset. "And why should the Egyptians speak, saying, 'With an evil intent he brought these people out to kill them in the mountains and to destroy them from the face of the earth,' and turn from your burning anger and change your mind about doing harm to your people?" Remember, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants whom you did swear by yourself, an unconditional covenant now. "And you did say to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heavens, and all this land of which I have spoken I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.'" So the Lord changed his mind about the harm, and he said that he would do to his people. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets. Now, these two tablets, God had carved out of stone, and with his own hand he wrote the commandments of God. God carved them out of stone and then put the commandments on them. These are tablets of stone. Written in stone is an old word, you know. Written in stone, that means permanent. "Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, the tablets which were written on both sides, that they were written in on one side and on the other. And the tablets were God's work. And the writing was God's writing engraved on the stones." This is God's handwriting. "When Joshua heard the sound of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses," there's the sound of war in the camp. Now remember, Joshua had gone up there. He was away from this bunch. Joshua is a type of Jesus also. "But he said, 'It's not the sound of the cry of the trumpet, nor is it the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear.'" The sound of singing. This is like a rock concert down here. This is like Woodstock so many years ago when they laid around there half naked or naked and just fornicating all over the place, just having a real good time full of drugs. Here is a preview of Woodstock. "And it came back as soon as Moses came near the camp, and he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger burned." Now he sees what God saw. "And he threw the tablets from his hand, and they shattered them at the foot of the mountain. God's handiwork was shattered. Moses was the first person to break the laws, literally. And he took the calf which they had made and he burned it with fire. Now, the calf was probably, the inside of it was probably wood. And the outside of it was this beaten gold. He burned it with fire and he ground it to powder. And he scattered it over the surface of the water and he made the sons of Israel drink. Made them drink it. Then Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought such a great sin upon them? Aaron, you're my brother and you're at fault here. You were the leader for these people when I was gone." "Well, I just did what I was used to doing all the time when I was down there in Egypt. I just made gods." Let's see what he says. "And Aaron said, 'Do not let the anger of my Lord burn. You know that the people yourself, they are prone to evil. They are prone to evil. For they said to me, make gods for us who will go before us. For this Moses, the man who brought us out from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.' And I said to them, 'Whoever has any gold, let them bring it.'" He didn't say, "Hey, knock it off. Moses is going to be here. Don't worry about it. God told you to sit here and keep yourselves consecrated and pure, because he's going to give you the law. And you already know about this." "So they gave it to me and I threw it into the fire. And out came this calf." Isn't that the way it is? "I just threw it in the fire and out came the calf." Hogwash. Lie. You know, politicians do a lot of lying. And Washington, D.C. is full of them. Full of them. "I just threw it in the fire and out came this calf. I just threw it in the fire and out came this calf. And I said to them, whoever has any gold, give me the gold. And I threw it in the fire and out came the calf." And you believe that? You can take stock in the Brooklyn Bridge, you know. "Now when Moses saw the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control to be a derision among their enemies. And when Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, whoever's for the Lord's side, on the Lord, for the Lord, come to me. Whoever's on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered together to him. And he said to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, every man of you put his sword upon his thigh and go back and forth from the gate into the camp and kill every man and his brother." Now, Moses is a little bit upset, isn't he? Just a little bit upset. "Now you go kill him. And every man his friend and every man his neighbor." So the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed them. About 3,000 men of the people fell that day. 3,000 died because of the sin. They couldn't wait to sin. Aaron gets snuffed out later on, you know. So the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed them. About 3,000 men fell that day. And Moses said, "Dedicate yourselves this day to the Lord. For every man has been against his son and against his brother, in order that he may bestow a blessing upon you this day." And it came about on the next day that Moses said to the people, "You yourselves have committed a great sin. You have sinned. And now I'm going up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. Now I'm going to go back up on that mountain. I've been up there 40 days. I come back down here, and now he's going to go up there." And Moses, you know what Moses has been doing? He's been listening to God. As far as we know, he had nothing to eat or drink for 40 days. And now he's going to go back up there, and it's going to be over 80 days. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Alas, this people have committed a great sin, and they have made gods of gold for themselves." Now, That's not exactly what happened. Aaron did it. But they commanded Aaron to do it. But now, if you will forgive their sin, and if not, please blot me out from your book, which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now, Moses didn't have to go out there and figure out who it was. God knew who it was. But go now and lead the people where I told you, and behold, my angel, my messenger actually, shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I punish, I will punish them for their sin. My angel, my messenger, this is probably Jehovah. Then the Lord smote the people because of what they did with a calf which Aaron had made. The greatest sins is not so much adultery, lying and stealing. It is sinning against God and worshiping other gods. We have one God. God is a jealous God. Don't get your eyes off of God. Don't go off in the world and go after the gods of the world. There are more gods than just demons. People can devote their lives to amassing great wealth. They can devote their God to making things like an automobile. And they worship that automobile rather than God. Or a house or a home. And they worship the home more than they do God. Whatever you got out there, God allowed you to get it. I wake up here in a kind of a country that can be very severe in the wintertime. Very beautiful in the summer and the spring and the fall, but in the wintertime it can kill you. You've got to have a comfortable home. And Marilyn and I are old people. We're old. I don't know how much longer I can teach for you. I will as long as I can. I think I have a contribution to make to God's people throughout the world. But every day I get up and I thank God for the home that we have. It's comfortable in Maryland. Very comfortable. It's safe for us when we're old. We're still working on it, trying to get it all done. Maybe we'll get it done before we're dead. But we try to use it for your honor and glory, God. We try to use it for the glory of God. This room here is set aside for that purpose. You see that we have visitors and people come here and our little church and we preach the Word of God the best I can do. I do the best I can. Tonight I have given you a message from God's Word. Israel looking for a chance to sin. Always looking for a chance to sin. In our lives sometimes we do too. Paul said that the Old Testament and God's dealing with Israel were written for us for parables, literally parables and types, that we might not follow in their wicked footsteps today. Our Father, we send this message out throughout the world that it might honor and glorify you, that it might warn your people, that they might follow you. When you bought them with the Jesus blood, they're yours. I'm yours. Father, please take care of us. Thank you for the writings in the Old Testament that show us how foolish we can be. Father, use your message wherever it goes for your honor and glory. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.